From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
And for those who didn't pay attention, last time on the Bard Brawl, a sack butt is a trombone. Welcome, Bard Brawlers. I am Daniel J. Rowe, co-host of the Bard Brawl. With me, as always, is the dance maestro, Mr. Eric Jean. What type of dance will you be dancing at your wedding?
I will be dancing a lovely foxtrot.
A foxtrot? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You do need lessons for that.
Exactly.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
I'm getting excited about this wedding. October
20th.
October 20th.
At a secret location.
Secret location. To be revealed the day of the wedding.
That's right.
To all guests.
It's like a flash mob wedding.
Yeah. Two new brawlers today. Making her way from the Sonneteers to the second line brawlers is Miss Virginie Tremblay over in the corner. Looking lovely. Hello, Virginie. And also joining us from the bench, from the fans, from the club, CBC's very own Mr. Sean Malley. How are you, Sean?
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
You're looking glowingly after your Tottenham Hotspur beat for the first time since 1926, since Shakespeare was around, beat Manchester United at home.
Shakespeare was just polishing boots for the performers, yes.
Yeah. Joining us once again, writer, director, slash actor, the raft man, Mr. Andre Simoneau.
Hey.
Have you ever been on a raft?
Yeah.
Made of logs like that?
Yeah. Like, not on a river. There were no raft men involved.
Were you paddling?
No, only children.
On the raft?
Probably.
Was the raft made of logs?
Yeah, I think so, and rope. I might be completely fabricating this memory. But it's real to me.
All right. Mr. David Wheaton at the corner of Pigeon Fat fame. How did your show go, by the way?
It was fun. Yeah. We made t-shirts. The kids had a good time. It was good.
There were kids allowed. What was the show for? Pop Montreal?
It was Pop Montreal, yeah. It was a small part of Pop Montreal. We played at Divan Orange.
And kids are allowed to go there.
There were kids there. They look like kids to me, you know. I'm 78, so.
Old man.
Do the kids know how to dance to rock and roll?
Yeah, that headbanging stuff, yeah.
I don't know if that's dancing.
Not dancing.
It's not. No, he's taking dancing lessons.
No
shows.
I've done that. 6 years, man.
Yeah.
Competitions, the whole thing.
Headbanging?
Yes.
Competitions?
Ballroom dancing.
Oh. This I did not know. Or maybe I did. But I combined your dancing and your boxing into one.
As do I.
It's
boxing.
Beautiful
as
in my
do I.
Mind.
Dancing.
And Stephanie E.M. Coleman rounding out the table. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Good. I lit incense tonight. Is that bothering anybody?
No, it's nice.
I found it in my cupboard and I decided to light it. Yeah. You listeners can't smell that, but if you feel free to...
I smell good.
Yeah, if you get the idea.
Yeah. iPhone 5 does have the smell. By the way, somebody on the iTunes site left a comment.
Ooh.
And said thank you. I was very, very excited by...
Do we know the name of this person?
GovSnipe72 or something. Said
nice.
It was really good. So,
you can't remember the username?
It was Daniel Day Rowe.
They could be listening
right now.
Oh, user who left comment, thank you very much. I don't have my computer. I have my text in front of me. I don't have my computer. Today, we're changing gears. Now for something completely different.
Yeah.
And who said that in the Monty Python?
John Cleese.
Was it John Cleese?
Often, yes.
Often John Cleese. John Cleese, also star of the BBC's production of Taming of the Shrew. Which, much like Coriolanus, was written by Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Eric, I know you've been waiting a long time to delve into Taming of the Shrew and really dig out the meat of it. Tell me what you think about this play.
I don't like it.
Don't hold back.
As written, the play doesn't make sense. It has sections that don't go with other sections. It has an ending that doesn't seem to work with what's going on. And it has a whole bunch of stuff that we would consider deeply, deeply offensive today.
Oh, great.
That makes it hard. Well, we've talked about this before, that it's a fun play to watch if it's properly staged and edited. but it's really not a good play to read. It's not. It's confusing. Well, we'll get to all these points as we go through it.
A lot of people like this play, though. My brother likes it. Dan Panese was the one who originally called this.
That's right.
It was the... Sorry?
I said you like Columbo. It's like, oh, my wife really likes the play, though. It's like, anyway. You know Columbo. You know what I'm talking about.
This was the second play we did for the Bar Brawl, actually. Dan Panese recommended it because he likes it. He likes how it's kind of creepy and...
Yeah.
The Petruchio character, if played right, like John Cleese is pretty good in the BBC production. And
I like 10 Things I Hate About You.
And 10 Things I Hate About You with
Heath?
The late Heath Ledger. Yeah. Rest in peace. Yes. And the horrible, horrible Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
Oh. Horrible. Yes, this play gets performed all the time. Bard on the Beach in Vancouver does it all the time. Whenever there's a Shakespeare festival, someone seems to do it.
It is easy to get into. Yeah. Like, when you're watching it, well, as we read through it, it might get confusing, but as you're watching it, it's very easy to follow the action. People get hit, people fall, people jump around. It's like...
There's a bit with a dog.
There's a bit with a dog. And it works. You know, like, I can see a 12-year-old kid going, like, this is fun.
Misogyny just doesn't get old.
That's true.
It is evergreen. Like a sapling.
Part of my pointless antagonism of this play is because it's sort of done better with Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
And Much Ado About Nothing doesn't get the acclaim or it doesn't get the attention that this is. Although David Wheaton's boyfriend Joss Wheaton is doing a version of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
Did you guys date?
Briefly. Didn't work out. We have
not a brief still time between
without
Buffy
further
and
ado, we will start with the prologue. Actually, I've not seen a version. Did the Elizabeth Taylor version do this?
I've never seen the whole thing, so I couldn't tell you. But I don't know. Thanks. I've seen scenes of it, but I don't know of a version of the play that actually stages the prologue.
Yeah, it wasn't in the play we saw this summer.
No.
In Montreal. The one I just watched on BBC didn't use it. I don't know why. Like, it's weird. It's a weird...
Well, we should read through it, and then we'll...
So we have two scenes in the prologue. We have Christopher Sly, the drunken... What is he?
Like a barfly.
Barfly.
Loser.
Sly the Fly.
Oh, sorry. That's you, Sean Malley, making your entrance as Christopher Sly. We have a hostess. Stephanie E.M. Coleman will lovely play. We have a lord, which would only be Andre Simonos. We have a first hunter, which I think should be... David Wheaton should do it. I'll be the second hunter. I was just getting a pretty nasty look there.
Yeah.
Oh, Virginie's the second hunter. I'm the servant.
That's right.
Oh, snap.
I don't get to be any hunters. Mm. It's a sad, sad day. I will be the servant. And the first and second players, Eric and I, will jump on. So, prologue, or some versions have it just as Act 1, Scene 1. Enter, beggar, Christopher Sly, and hostess.
I'll feast you, in faith.
Pair of stocks, you rogue.
Ye are baggage. The Slys are no rogues. Look in the chronicles. We came in with Richard Conqueror, therefore Pacus Palibris. Let the world slide, Sessa.
You will not pay for the glasses you have burst?
No, not a denier. Go, Bajrami, go to thy cold bed and warm thee.
I know my remedy. I must go fetch the third burrow.
Exit.
Third or fourth or fifth borough, I'll answer him by law. I'll not budge an inch, boy. Let him come in kindly.
Falls asleep. Nice. Wind horns. What is a wind?
Wind are horns winded.
Ah.
So like hunting horns.
Oh, okay. Enter a lord from hunting. That makes sense. With his train.
Huntsman, I charge thee, tender well my hounds. Black Merriman, the poor cur is embossed, and couple clatter with the deep mouth brach. Saw'st thou not, boy, how silver made it good at the hedge corner in the coldest fault? I would not lose the dog for £20.
Why, Bellman, as good as he is, my lord, he cried upon it at the merest loss. and twice today picked up the dullest scent. Trust me, I take him for the better dog.
Thou art a fool. If Echo were as fleet, I would esteem him worth a dozen such. But sup them well and look unto them all. Tomorrow I intend to hunt again.
I will, my lord.
What's here? One dead or drunk? See, doth he breathe?
He breathes, my lord. Were he not warmth with ale, this were a bed but cold to sleep so soundly.
Oh, monstrous beast! How like a swine he lies! Grim death, how foul and loathsome is thine image! Sirs, I will practice on this drunken man. What think you, if he were conveyed to bed wrapped in sweet clothes, rings put upon his fingers, a most delicious banquet by his bed, and brave attendants near him when he wakes? Would not the beggar then forget himself?
Believe me, lord, I think he cannot choose.
It would seem strange unto him when he waked.
Even as a flattering dream or worthless fancy. Then take him up and manage well the jest. Carry him gently to my fairest chamber and hang it round with all my wanton pictures. Balm his foul head in warm distilled waters and burn sweet wood to make the lodging sweet. Procure me music ready when he wakes to make a dulcet and a heavenly sound. And if he chance to speak, be ready straight with a low, submissive reverence. Say, what is it your honor will command? Let one attend him with a silver basin full of rose water and bestrewed with flowers. Another bear the ewer, the third a diaper, and say, will it please your lordship cool your hands? Someone be ready with a costly suit and ask him what apparel he will wear. Another tell him of his hounds and horse, and that his lady mourns at his disease. Persuade him that he hath been lunatic, and when he says he is, say that he dreams, for he is nothing but a mighty lord. This do, and do it kindly, gentle sirs. It will be pastime passing excellent, if it be husbanded with modesty.
My lord, I warrant you we will play our part, as he shall think by our true diligence he is no less than what we say he is.
Take him up gently and go to bed with him. And each one to his office when he wakes.
Some barrow sly, sound trumpet.
Sirrah, go see what trumpet is that sounds.
Exit serving man.
Belike, some noble gentleman that means, traveling some journey to repose him here.
Enter serving man.
How now? Who is it?
And it please your honor, players, the offer of service to your lordship.
Let them come here.
Enter players.
Now, fellows, you are welcome.
We thank your honor.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you intend to stay with me tonight?
So please your lordship to accept our duty.
With all my heart. This fellow I remember since once he played a farmer's eldest son. 'Twas where you wooed the gentlewoman so well. I forgot your name, but sure that part was aptly fitted and naturally performed.
I think 'twas Soto that your honor means.
'Tis very true. Thou didst it excellent. Well, you're come to me in a happy time. The rather for I have some sport in hand wherein your cunning can assist me much. There is a lord will hear you play tonight, but I am doubtful of your modesties, lest over-eyeing of his odd behavior, for yet his honor never heard a play, you break into some merry passion and so offend him. For I tell you, sirs, if you should smile, he grows impatient.
Fear not, my lord, we can contain ourselves, were he the veriest antic in the world.
Go, sirrah, take them to the buttery, and give them friendly welcome, every one. Let them want nothing that my house affords.
Exit one with the players.
Sirrah, go you to Bartholomew, my page, and see him dressed in all suits like a lady. That done, conduct him to the drunkard's chamber, and call him madam. Do him obeisance. Tell him from me, as he will win my love, he bears himself with honorable actions, such as he hath observed in noble ladies unto their lords, by them accomplished. Such duty to the drunkard let him do with soft, low tongue and lowly courtesy, and say, what is it your honor will command, wherein your lady and your humble wife may show her duty and make known her love? And then with kind embracements, tempting kisses, and with declining head into his bosom, bid him shed tears, as being overjoyed to see her noble lord restored to health, who for this 7 years hath esteemed him no better than a poor and loathsome beggar. And if the boy have not a woman's gift to rain a shower of commanded tears, as an onion will do well for such a shift, which in a napkin being close conveyed shall in despite enforce a watery eye, see this dispatched with all the haste thou canst. Anon I'll give thee more instructions.
Exit first serving man.
I know the boy will well usurp the grace, voice, gait, and action of a gentlewoman. I long to hear him call the drunkard husband, and how my men will stay themselves from laughter when they do homage to this simple peasant. I'll in to counsel them. Haply my presence may well abate the over-merry spleen, which otherwise would grow into extremes.
Exunt. Scene 2. The same. A bedchamber in the lord's house. Sly. Servants. So we got one. I'll do one. Eric, you do two.
Sure.
Stephanie, you do three. We've got the lord again. And that should be it. David Wheaton, if you want to take the stage directions
for
me.
Oh, there's a page.
Oh, there's a page. Virginie, do you want to be the page?
The page plays the woman, I think. Yeah, that's right.
There you go. A page.
We get to do stage directions?
Yes.
Sweet. Shall I go now?
Go ahead.
Enter aloft, Sly, the drunkard, and three servants, with apparel, basin, and ewer, and other appurtenances, and lord.
For God's sakes, a small pot of ale.
Will it please your lordship drink a cup of sack?
Will it please your honor taste of these conserves?
Is that good timing?
Yes.
Good. What raiment will your honor wear today?
I am Christopher Sly. Call not me honor nor lordship. I never drank sack in my life, and if you give me any conserves... Give me conserves of beef. Never ask me what raiment I'll wear, for I have no more doublets than backs, no more stockings than legs, no more shoes than feet, nay, sometimes more feet than shoes, nor such shoes as my toes look through the over leather.
Heaven cease this idle humor in your honor. Oh, that a mighty man of such descent, of such possessions, and so high esteem should be infused with so foul a spirit.
What? Would you make me mad? Am I not Christopher Sly, old Sly's son of Burton Heath? By birth a peddler, by education a card maker, transmutation a bear herd, now by present profession a tinker? Ask Marion Hackett, that fat nail wife of Wincott, if she know me not. If she say I am not 14 pence on the score for sheer ale, score me up for the lyingest knave in Christendom. What? I am not bestraught. Here's...
Oh, this is it that makes your lady mourn.
Oh, this is it that your servants droop.
Hence comes it that your kindred shuns your house, as beaten hence by your strange lunacy. Oh, noble lord, bethink thee of thy birth. Call home thy ancient thoughts from banishment, and banish hence these abject lowly dreams. Look how thy servants do attend on thee, each in his office ready at thy beck. Wilt thou have music?
Music.
Hark! Apollo plays!
Music.
And 20 caged nightingales do sing. Or wilt thou sleep? We'll have thee to a couch softer and sweeter than a lustful bed on purpose trimmed up for Semiramis. Say thou wilt walk, we will bestrew the ground. Or wilt thou ride? Thy horses shall be trapped, their harness studded with all with gold and pearl. Dost thou love hawking? Thou hast hawks will soar above the morning lark. Or wilt thou hunt? Thy hounds shall make the welkin answer them and fetch shrill echoes from the hollow earth.
Say thou wilt course. Thy greyhounds are swift as breathed stags, aye, fleeter than the roe.
Dost thou love pictures? We will fetch thee straight Adonis painted by a running brook, and Cytherea all in sedges hid, which seemed to move and wanton with her breath, even as the waving sedges play with wind.
We'll show thee low as
Io.
She was...
Io.
Io. We'll show thee Io as she was a maid, and
wow,
how she was beguiled and
ooh,
surprised, as lively painted as the deed was done.
I like that.
Or Daphne roaming through a thorny wood, scratching her legs that one shall swear she bleeds, and at that sight shall sad Apollo weep, so workmanly the blood and tears are drawn.
Thou art a lord, and nothing but a lord. Thou hast a lady far more beautiful than any woman in this waning age.
Until the tears that she hath shed for thee, like envious floods, o'errun her lovely face, she was the fairest creature in the world, and yet she is inferior to none.
Am I a lord? Have I such a lady? Or do I dream, or have I dreamed till now? I do not sleep. I see, I hear, I speak. I smell sweet savors, and I feel soft things. Upon my life, I am a lord indeed. And not a tinker, nor Christopher Sly. Well, bring our lady hither to our sight, and once again, a pot of the smallest ale.
Well, please your mightiness to wash your hands. Oh, how we joy to see your wits restored. Oh, that once more you knew but what you are. These 15 years you have been in a dream, or when you waked. So waked as if you slept.
These 15 years? By my faith, goodly now. But did I never speak of all that time?
Oh, yes, my lord. But very idle words, for though you lay here in this goodly chamber, yet would you say ye were beaten out of door, and rail upon the hostess of the house, and say you would present her at the leet, because she brought stone jugs and no sealed quarts. Sometimes you would call out for Cicely Hackett.
Aye, a woman's maid of the house.
Why, sir, you know no house, nor no such maid, nor no such men as you have reckoned up, as Stephen Sly, and old John Knapps of Greece, and Peter Turf, and Henry Pimpernel, and 20 more such names and men as these, which never were, nor no man ever saw.
Now, Lord, be thanked for my good amends.
Amen.
I thank thee. I thank thee. Thou shalt not lose by it.
Enter Bartholomew the page as lady with attendants.
How fares my noble lord?
Marry, I fare well, for here is cheer enough. Where is my wife?
Here, noble lord. What is thy will with her?
Are you my wife and will not call me husband? My men should call me lord. I am your goodman.
My husband and my lord and husband. I am your wife in all obedience.
I know it well. What must I call her?
Madam.
House, madam, or Joan, madam?
Madam, and nothing else. So lords call ladies.
Madam wife, they say that I have dreamed and slept above some 15 year or more.
Aye, and the time seems 30 unto me, being all this time abandoned from your bed.
'Tis much. Servants, leave me and her alone, madam. Undress you and come now to bed.
Lord and servants.
Thrice, noble lord, let me entreat of you to pardon me yet for a night or two, or, if not so, until the sun be set. For your physicians have expressly charged, in peril to incur your former malady, that I should yet absent me from your bed. I hope this reason stands for my excuse.
Nice.
It stands so that I may hardly tarry so long, but I would be loath to fall into my dreams again. I will therefore tarry, in despite of the flesh and the blood.
Enter a servant.
Your honors, players, beating your amendments, are come to play a pleasant comedy. For so your doctors hold it very meet, seeing too much sadness has congealed your blood. Melancholy is the nurse of frenzy. Therefore they thought it good you hear a play and frame your mind to mirth and merriment, which bars 1,000 harms and lengthens life. Thank you.
Marry, I will. Let them play. Not a comedy, a Christmas gamble, or a tumbling trick?
No, my good lord. It is more pleasing stuff.
What, household stuff?
It is a kind of history.
Well, see it. Come, madam wife, sit by my side and let the world slip. We shall ne'er be younger.
Flourish. Enter Lucentio and his man, Tranio.
So now is the play.
Yeah, we've got a different... Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's...
this is like the best part of the play.
I love it. Hilarious.
So it's like all of Taming of the Shrew is a play within a play?
Yeah.
That shit's nuts.
Well, that's the question. Why is it in the play? We don't have very good information as to how the play was staged the first time or the many times it was performed, but the most likely scenario, if you want to keep this in, is the audience is watching the play and there are people sort of at the front end of the play who are sort of stand-ins for Sly and the page who are sort of sitting there watching this play happen. So we're watching them watch the play. Why is it not staged? I think it's a really good question, because I think it makes it a more interesting play to have that extra level, but I guess most people want to try to simplify the story, so they just go with what, I guess, the meat of it, but I don't...
It's like he just did it for the sake of Why? Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does play within a play, like, so many times in his career that, and this is such an early play, that it almost feels like an experiment that he never came around and sort of, like, he started it and he never came around and sort of finished and put the other bookend on there to get, to frame it properly. So I guess that's why people remove it.
Yeah. It's funny. I like the prologue. And they never come back. That's it. Sorry, your sly is gone.
Oh.
That's all right. We'll get you in there. You were liking that drunk sly.
I like being a drunk dog.
He's not actually drunk. So we have Lucencio is Duke.
Mm-hmm.
That seems Andre-esque. Tranio,
so much to say.
Because you're the lord, and now you're the duke.
Okay.
Well, Lucentio isn't the lead, that's Petruchio.
Awesome.
Somebody who's later. His man, Tranio, who wants to be Andre's man?
I'll be Andre's man. I'll be
Tranio.
Andre's man.
All right, Baptista will be played by Mr. Sean Malley. Katharina will be Stephanie. The shrew, Bianca, will be David Wheaton. Grammio, Miss Virginie Tremblay. And Hortensio, I will take. And Biondello, I think, has a few lines in this. Eric, you can jump on him.
You,
who? Biondello.
Sure. Yeah. I pay attention. Heads up, there will be a very detailed mapping out of the characters and the names they go through as our first blog post for this play, because it'll get confusing really fast.
Yeah. That's
what threw me the first time.
Everybody acts as somebody else.
Yeah.
Enter Lucenzio and his man Tranio.
Tranio? Since the great desire I had to see fair Padua, nursery of arts, I am arrived for fruitful Lombardy, the pleasant garden of great Italy. And by my father's love and leave, am armed with his good will and thy good company, my trusty servant, well approved in all, here let us breathe and happily institute a course of learning and ingenious studies. Pisa, renowned for grave citizens, gave me my being, and my father first, a merchant of great traffic through the world, Vincentino, come from Bentivoli, Vincentino's son, brought up in Florence, it shall become to serve all hopes conceived, to deck his fortune with his virtuous deeds. And therefore, Tranio, for the time I study virtue and that part of philosophy, will I apply the treats of happiness by virtue, specially to be achieved. Tell me thy mind, for I have Pisa left, and am to Padua come, as he that leaves a shallow plash to plunge him in the deep and with satiety seeks to quench his thirst.
Mi perdonato, gentle master mine, I am in all affected as yourself. Glad that you thus continue your resolve to suck the sweets of sweet philosophy. Only, good master, while we do admire this virtue and this moral discipline, let's be no Stoics, nor no Stocks, I pray, or so devote to Aristotle's checks as Ovid be an outcast quite abjured. Bulk logic with acquaintance that you have, and practice rhetoric in your common talk, music and poesy used to quicken you, the mathematics and the metaphysic. Fall to them as you find your stomach serves you. No profit grows where is no pleasure taken. In brief, sir, study what you most affect.
Gramercia, Tranio.
Nice accents, guys.
Ooh.
Very Italian.
Well, dost thou advise? If, Biondello, thou wert come ashore, we could not once put us in readiness and take a lodging fit to entertain such friends as time in Padua shall beget. But stay a while. What company is this?
Master, some show to welcome us to town.
Enter Baptista with his two daughters, Katharina and Bianca. Grêmio, a pantaloon, Hortensio, suitor to Bianca, Lucencio, Tranio, stand by.
Gentlemen, importune me no farther, for how I firmly am resolved, you know. That is, not bestow my youngest daughter before I have a husband for the elder. If either of you both love Katharina, because I know you well and love you well, leave shall you have to court her at your pleasure.
To court her, rather. She's too rough for me. There, Hortensio. Will you any wife?
To Baptista.
I pray you, sir, is it your will to make a stale of me amongst these mates?
Mates, mate, how mean you that? No mates for you unless you were of gentler, milder mold.
My faith, sir, you shall never need to fear. I wis it is not halfway to her heart. But if it were, doubt not her care should be to comb your noddle with a three-legged stool and paint your face and use you like a fool.
From all such devils, good Lord, deliver us!
And me too, good Lord.
Hush, master, there's some good pastime towards that wench's stark mad or wonderful forward.
But in the other silence do I see maid's mild behavior and sobriety. Peace, trainer.
Well said, master. Mum, gaze your fill.
Gentlemen, that I may soon make good what I have said, Bianca, get you in, and let it not displease thee, good Bianca, for I will love thee nevertheless, my girl.
A pretty Pete. It's best put finger in the eye, and she knew why.
Sister, content you in my discontent. Sir, to your pleasure humbly I subscribe. My books and instruments shall be my company, on them to look and practice by myself.
Oh. Hark, Tranio. I may hear Minerva speak.
Signor Baptista, will you be so strange? Sorry am I that our good will affects Bianca's grief.
Why will you mule her up, Signor Baptista, for this fiend of hell, and make her bear the penance of her tongue?
Gentlemen, content ye. I am resolved. Go in, Bianca.
Exit, Bianca.
And, for I know she taketh most delight in music, instruments, and poetry, schoolmasters will I keep within my house, fit to instruct her youth. If you, Hortensio, or Signor Gremio, you know any such, prefer them hither, for to cunning men I will be very kind and liberal, to mine own children in good bringing up. And so farewell, Katharina, you may stay, for I have more to commune with Bianca.
Exit.
Why, and I trust I may go too, may I not? What, shall I be appointed hours as though belike I knew not what to take and what to leave?
Exit.
You may go to the devil's dam, your gifts are so good. Here's none will hold you. Their love is not so great, Hortensio, but we may blow our nails together and fast it fairly out. Our cakes dough on both sides. Farewell, yet for the love I bear my sweet Bianca, if I can by any means light on a fit man to teach her that wherein she delights, I will wish him to her father.
So will I, Signor Gremio. But a word, I pray, though the nature of our quarrel yet never brooked parl, know now upon advice, it touches us both, that we may yet again have access to our fair mistress, and be happy rivals in Bianca's love, to labor and effect one thing specially.
What's that, I pray?
Marry, sir! To get a husband for her sister.
A husband? A devil?
I say a husband!
I say a devil. Thinkest thou, Hortensio, though her father be very rich, any man is so very a fool to be married to hell.
Tash, Gremio! Though it pass your patience and mine to endure her loud alarms, why, man, there be good fellows in the world, and a man could light on them would take her with all her faults, and money enough.
I cannot tell, but I had as lief take her dowry with this condition to be whipped at the high cross every morning.
Faith, as you say, there's small choice in rotten apples. But come, since this bar in law makes us friends, it shall be so far forth friendly maintained till by helping Baptista's eldest daughter to a husband, we set his youngest free for a husband, and then have to it afresh. Sweet Bianca, happy man be his dole. He that runs fastest gets the ring. How say you, Gremio?
I am agreed, and would I had given him the best horse in Padua to begin his wooing, that would thoroughly woo her, wed her, and bed her, and rid the house of her. Come on.
Exeunt ambo, Gremio and Hortensio, manant Tranio, Lucentia, Recentio. Si. Prego.
I say, sir, tell me, is it possible that love should of a sudden take such hold?
Oh, Tranio, till I found it to be true, I never thought it possible or likely. But see, while idly I stood looking on, I found the effect of love in idleness. And now in plainness do confess to thee, that art to me as secret and as dear as Anna to the Queen of Carthage was. Tranio, I burn. I pine, I perish. Tranio, if I achieve not this young, modest girl. Counsel me, Tranio, for I know thou canst. Assist me, Tranio, for I know thou wilt.
Master, it is no time to chide you now. Affection is not rated from the heart. If love hath touched you, naught remains but so. Redime te captum quam queas minimo.
Nice.
Gramercius, lad. Go forward. This contents. The rest will comfort, for thy counsel's sound.
Master, you look so longingly on the maid. Perhaps you marked not what the pith of all?
Oh, yes. I saw sweet beauty in her face, such as the daughter of Agenor had, that made great Jove to humble him to her hand, when with his knees he kissed the Cretan strand.
Saw you no more? Marked you not how her sister began to scold and raise up such a storm that mortal ears might hardly endure the din?
Tranio, I saw her coral lips to move, and with her breath she did perfume the air. Sacred and sweet was all I saw in her.
Nay, then, 'tis time to stir him from his trance. I pray, awake, sir, if you love the maid, bend thoughts and wits to achieve her. Thus it stands. Her elder sister is so cursed and shrewd that till the father rid his hands of her, master, your love must live a maid at home, and therefore has he closely mewed her up, because she will not be annoyed with suitors.
Ah, Tranio, what a cruel father is he! But art thou not advised he took some care to get her cunning schoolmasters to instruct her?
Aye, marry, I am, sir, and now 'tis plotted.
I have it, Tranio.
Master, for my hand, both our inventions meet and jump in one.
Tell me thine first.
You will be schoolmaster and undertake the teaching of the maid. That's your device.
It is. May it be done.
Not possible. For who shall bear your part and be in Padua here, Vincentio's son, keep house and ply his books, welcome his friends, visit his countrymen, and banquet them?
Basta. Content thee, for I have it full. We have not yet been seen in any house, nor can we lie distinguished by our faces for man or master. Then it follows thus. Thou shalt be master, Tranio, in my stead. Keep house and port and servants as I should. I will some other be, some Florentine, some Neapolitan, or meaner man of Pisa. 'Tis hatched and shall be so. Tranio, at once uncase thee, take my colored hat and cloak. When Biondello comes, he waits on thee. But I will charm him first to keep his tongue.
So had you need. In brief, sir, sith it your pleasure is, I am tied to be obedient. For so your father charged me at our parting. Be serviceable to my son, quoth he, although I think 'twas in another sense. I am content to be Lucentio, because so well I love Lucentio.
Tranio, be so, because Lucentio loves. And let me be a slave to achieve that maid whose sudden sight hath thralled my wounded eye.
Enter, Biondello.
Here comes the rogue. Sirrah, where have you been?
Where have I been? Nay, how now? Where are you, master? Has my fellow Tranio stolen your clothes, or you stolen his, or both? Pray, what's the news?
Sirrah, come hither. 'Tis no time to jest, and therefore frame your manners to the time. Your fellow Tranio here, to save my life, puts my apparel and my countenance on, and I, for my escape, have put on his. For in a quarrel since I came ashore, I killed a man, and fear I was descried. Wage you on him, I charge you, as becomes while I make way from hence to save my life. You understand me?
Aye, sir. Narrow wit.
And not a jot of Tranio in your mouth. Tranio is changed into Lucentio.
The better for him, would I were so too.
So could I, faith, boy, to have the next wish after, that Lucentio indeed has Batista's youngest daughter. But, sirrah, not for my sake, but your master's, I advise you use your manners discreetly in all kind of companies. When I am alone, why then I am Tranio, but in all places else your master Lucentio.
Tranio, let's go. One thing more rests, that thyself execute to make one among these wooers. If thou ask me why, sufficeth, my reasons are both good and weighty.
Exeunt, the presenters above speak.
Oh, this is the one little sly moment that comes
back. Yeah, sly is back, is. Briefly.
First servant!
Was that, who's first, yeah, was that me?
The British accent.
My lord, you nod. You do not mind the play?
Yes, by St. Anne, do I. A good matter, surely. Comes there any more of it?
My lord, 'tis but begun.
It's a very excellent piece of work, madam lady, which we're done.
They sit and mark.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm pretty sure that's the last moment.
All right, Act 1, Scene 2, we have Padua. This is the last scene of the act. This is where our hero, Petruchio, enters.
It's also where we begin the confusion.
Everything gets confusing. Now, we will remember that Lucenzio has become Tranio, and Tranio has become Lucenzio.
Actually, Lucenzio has become Cesario, as I think. He has another name.
Petruchio. All right, Act 1, Scene 2. Julio. Here we have Petruchio, which are David Wheaton will play, in addition to Bianca. So pay attention to the slight modifications in the voice.
Petruchio is a boy, right?
Petruchio is a boy. Bianca is a girl. Grumio is his guy. And Andre can play that so as to differentiate Grumio from Gremio.
Yeah, Grumio is the servant to Petruchio.
Yeah.
And Gremio is the old man who is a suitor to Bianca.
And Hortensio is the kid from Third Rock from the Sun and Inception in Ten Things I Hate About You.
And Looper.
Is that, what's his name?
Yeah. Ben Brick.
Yeah, he's in a lot of movies.
Okay, enter Petruchio. By the way, in high school when we read this play, I had this really creepy English teacher, and I won't say his name, but he would always like give himself all the best roles, and he would play with the kids. And he gave this one girl he had obviously had a crush on. So he would give her the female leads.
So that is wrong.
High school English teachers out there, don't do that. When you're in grade 11 English, trying to get girls to look at you and your teacher cast the romantic lead aside from the pretty girl in your class, it's really
creepy
and angering.
Teachers are meant to read the stage directions
and
let the kids sort it out amongst themselves.
Let the kids play. Let Steve Holt play Petruchio. Okay. Or maybe Githrin. So Petruchio, enter Petruchio and his man Grumio.
Verona, for a while I take my leave to see my friends in Padua, but of all, my best beloved and approved friend, Hortensio. And I trow this is his house. Here, Sir Grumio, knock, I say.
Knock, sir? Whom should I knock? Is there a man has abused your worship?
Villain, I say, knock, hear me sound, knock me here soundly.
Knock you here, sir? Why, sir, what am I, sir? Sir, that should knock you here, sir?
Villain, I say, knock me at this gate, and wrap me well, or I'll knock your knave's pate.
My master is grown quarrelsome. I should knock you first, and then I know after who comes by the worst.
Will it not be faith, sirrah, and you'll not knock, I'll ring it. I'll try now, you can solfa, and sing it.
He rings him by the ears.
Help, masters, help! My master's mad!
Now knock when I bid you, sirrah villain.
Enter Hortensio. How now, what's the matter? My old friend Grumio and my good friend Petruchio. How do you all at Verona?
Signor Hortensio, come you to part the fray? Con tutto il cuor ben trovato, may I say?
Alla nostro casa benvenuto, molto onorato, signor mio Petruchio. Rise, Grumio, rise. We will compound this quarrel.
Nay, tis no matter, sir. What he ledges in Latin, if this not be lawful case for me to leave his service. Look you, sir, he bid me knock him and rap him soundly, sir. Well, was it fit for a servant to use his master so, being perhaps, for aught I see, 32, a pip out? Whom would to God I had well mocked at first, then had not Grumio come by the worst?
A senseless villain. Good Hortensio, I bade the rascal knock upon your gate, and could not get him from my heart to do it.
Knock at the gate? Oh, heavens! Speak you not these words plain, sirrah, knock me here, rap me here, knock me well, and knock me soundly, and come you now with knocking at the gate.
Sirrah, begone, or talk not, I advise
you. Petruchio, patience, I am Grumio's pledge. Why, this a heavy chance twixt him and you, your ancient, trusty, pleasant servant, Grumio. And tell me now, sweet friend, what happy gale blows you to Padua, here from old Verona, where two families fight?
Oh, that's Romeo and Juliet. It's happening right now.
Same time.
This is the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern version of Romeo and Juliet.
Such winds as scatters young men through the world to seek their fortunes farther than at home, where small experience grows. But in a few, Signor Hortensio, thus it stands with me. Antonio, my father, is deceased, and I have thrust myself into this maze, haply to wive and thrive as best I may. Crowns in my purse I have, and goods at home, and so am I come abroad to see the world.
Petruchio, shall I then come roundly to thee, and wish thee to a shrewd, ill-favored wife? Thou sang me but a little for my counsel, and yet I'll promise thee she shall be rich, and very rich, and thou'rt too much, my friend, and I'll not wish thee to her.
Signor Hortensio, twixt such friends as we, few words can suffice, and therefore, if thou know one rich enough to be Petruchio's wife, as wealth is burden of my wooing dance, be she as foul as was Florentius' love, as old as Sibyl, and as cursed and shrewd as Socrates' Xanthippe, or worse,
nice.
She moves me not, or not removes at least, affection's edge in me. Were she as rough as are the swelling Adriatic seas, I come to wive it and wealthily in Padua. If wealthily, then happily in Padua.
Not me.
Hey, look you, sir. He tells you flatly what his mind is. Why, give him gold enough and marry him to a puppet or an aglet baby, or an old trot with ne'er a tooth in her head, though she have as many diseases as 250 horses. Why, nothing comes amiss, so money comes with all.
Petruchio, since we are stepped thus far, and I will continue that I broach in jest, I can, Petruchio, help thee to a wife with wealth enough and young and beauteous, bought up as best becomes a gentlewoman. Her only fault, and that is fault enough, is that she is intolerable, cursed and shrewd and froward, so beyond all measure that were my state far worser than it is, I would not wed her for a mine of gold.
Hortensio, peace, thou knowest not gold's effect. Tell me her father's name, and 'tis enough, for I will board her through, though she child chide, as loud as thunder when she clouds in autumn crack.
crack. fault.
There's a theme. Her father is Baptista Minola, an affable and courteous gentleman. Her name is Catherina Minola, renowned in Padua for her scolding tongue.
I know her father, though I know not her, and he knew my deceased father well. I will not sleep, Hortensio, till I see her, and therefore let me be thus bold with you to give you o'er at the first encounter, unless you will accompany me thither.
I pray you, sir, let him go while the humour lasts. On my word, and she knew him as well as I do, she would think scolding would do little good upon him. She may perhaps call him half a score names or so. Why, that's nothing. And he begin once, he'll rail in his rope tricks. I tell you what, sir, an she stand him but a little, he will throw a figure in her face, and so disfigure her with it that she shall have no more eyes to see withal than a cat.
Meow.
You know him not, sir.
Tarry, Petruchio, I must go with thee, for in Baptista's keep my treasure is. He hath the jewel of my life in hold, his youngest daughter, beautiful Bianca, also you, and her withholds from me and other more suitors to her and rivals in my love, supposing it a thing impossible, for those defects I have before rehearsed that ever Caterina will be wooed. Therefore his order hath Baptista ta'en that none shall have access to Bianca, till Catherine the Cursed have got a husband.
Caterina the Cursed. A title for a maid of all titles the worst.
Now shall my friend Petruchio do me grace and offer me disguised in sober robes to old Baptista as a schoolmaster. We'll see in music to instruct Bianca, and so I may by this device at least have leave and leisure to make love to her and unsuspected court her by herself. That sounds like a certain crime.
It also sounds a lot like a certain plan we heard about 20 minutes ago.
So now Hortensio is going to be in costume later. Great. Enter Grumio and Lucenzio, disguised as a schoolmaster.
Did you say Grumio or...
Grumio and Lucenzio.
Grumio's got the last thing to say, doesn't he?
No, I know, but they enter.
Oh, okay.
Well, you have the instructions. It doesn't matter.
Sorry.
Enter Grumio... Virginie, and Lucenzio, Andre, disguised as a schoolmaster.
Oh, shit.
Oh, this is going to become confusing.
Don't worry. Our audience is an educator.
Here's no knavery. See to beguile the old folks, how the young folks lay their heads together. Master, master, look about you. Who goes there?
Peace. Ah. Peace, Grimio. It is the rival of my love, Petruchio. Stand by a while.
A proper stripling and an amorous.
They stand aside.
Oh, very well. I have perused the note. Hark you, sir. I'll have him very fairly bound. All books of love, see that at any hand, and see read no other lectures to her. You understand me, over and beside Signor Battista's liberality, I'll mend it with a largus. Take your paper, too, and let me have them very well perfumed, for she is sweeter than perfume itself to whom they go to. What will you read to her?
Whatever I read to her, I'll plead for you. As for my patron, stand you so assured, as firmly as yourself, still in place. Yea, and perhaps with more successful words than you, unless you were a scholar, sir.
Oh, this learning, what a thing it is.
Oh, this woodcock, what an ass it is.
Peace, Sirrah.
Grumio, mum! Coming forward. God save you, Grumio!
And you are well met, Signor Hortensio. Trow you whither I am going? To Baptista Minola. I promised to inquire carefully about a schoolmaster for the fair Bianca, and by good fortune I have lighted well on this young man for learning and behavior, fit for her turn, well read in poetry and other books, good ones, I warrant ye.
'Tis well, and I have met a gentleman hath promised me to help me to another, a fine musician, to instruct our mistress. So shall I no whit be behind in duty to fair Bianca, so beloved of me.
Beloved of me, and that my deeds shall prove.
And that his bag shall prove.
Grumio, 'tis now no time to vent our love. Listen to me, and if you speak me fair, I'll tell you no news indifferent good for either. Here is a gentleman whom by chance I met, upon agreement from us to his liking, will undertake to woo cursed Kate, yea, and to marry her if her dowry please.
So said, so done, is well. Hortensio, have you told him all her faults?
I know she is an irksome, brawling scold.
Yep, that's all of them.
If that be all, masters, I hear no harm.
No, sayest me so, friend. What countryman?
Born in Verona, old Antonio's son. My father dead, my fortune lives for me, and I do hope good days and long to see.
Oh, sir, such a life with such a wife were strange. But if you have a stomach, put I God's name, you shall have me assisting you in all. But will you woo this wild cat?
Will I live?
Will you woo her, I or I'll hang her?
Why came I hither but to that intent? Think you a little din can daunt mine ears? Have I not in my time heard lions roar? Have I not heard the sea, puffed up with winds, rage like an angry boar, chafed with sweat? Have I not heard great ordnance in the field, and heaven's artillery thunder in the skies? Have I not in a pitched battle heard loud larums, neighing steeds, and trumpets clang? And do you tell me of a woman's tongue, that gives not half so great a blow to hear as will a chestnut in a farmer's fire? Tush, tush, fear boys with bugs.
For he feels none.
Hortensio, hark, this gentleman is happily arrived. My mind presumes, for his own good and ours.
I promised we would be contributors, and bear his charge of wooing whatsoe'er.
And so we will, provided that he win her.
I would I were as sure of a good dinner.
Enter Tranio, brave, as Lucentio, yes, and Biondello.
Gentlemen, God save you. If I may be bold, tell me, I beseech you, which is the readiest way to the house of Signor Battista Minola.
He that has two fair daughters, is he you mean?
Even he, Biondello.
Hark you, sir, you mean not her too.
Perhaps him and her, sir, what have you to do?
Not her that chides, sir, at any hand, I pray.
I love no chiders, sir. Biondello, let's away.
Aside.
Well, we got in trying to.
Sir, a word ere you go. Are you a suitor to the maid you talk of, yea or no?
And if I be, sir, is it any offense?
No, if without more words you will get you hence.
Why, sir, I pray, are not the streets as free for me as for you?
But so is not she.
For what reason, I beseech you?
For this reason, if you'll know, that she's the choice love of Signor Grimio.
That she's the chosen of Signor Hortensio!
Softly, my masters. If you be gentlemen, do me this right. Hear me with patience. Batista is a noble gentlewoman, to whom my father is not at all unknown, and were his daughter fairer than she is, she may more suitors have, and me for one. Perdita's daughter had 1,000 wooers, then well one more may fair Bianca have, and so she shall. Lucentio, i.e. Tranio, pretending to be Lucentio, shall make one, though Paris come in hope to speed alone.
What? This gentleman will out-talk us all.
Sir, give him head. I know he'll prove a jade. I'm so confused. But...
Yeah. Hortensio, to what?
You're a schoolmate. You're like a teacher.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretending to be the cool school teacher. You're my servant pretending to be me.
Yeah.
So that I can be, and you're trying to woo the girl that I want.
No, he doesn't want
But you're not actually doing it.
I know, I'm just messing with the other two to open up the way for you.
So I can go be the school teacher and do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not at all confusing.
Cool, because he wants the girl and he wants...
Who else?
Gremio?
You're pretending to be someone.
No, oh, I did get switched.
Yeah, figure that out later.
Patricio, who am I pretending to be?
No, you're Patricio.
You're not pretending to be anybody.
I'm just saying I want the money.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, Virginie, Gremio, and moi, Hortensio, both are trying to get Bianca,
which is
David.
But Lucentio is smarter.
Lucentio, Andre, is smarter than both of us, and he is pretending to be a schoolmaster while making Tranio.
Get Tranio to fuck with them, I'd be the schoolmaster because that's what Batista wants for Bianca. Meanwhile, Patricio...
See the blog post for explanation.
See blog post and leave a comment.
Yeah. It actually, when you hear it, it makes sense, the flow of it, but...
I was thinking all these things when my line came up. I'm just trying to justify why it's late.
Lucentio, do you want to say the give me head line again?
Sir, give him head. I know he'll prove a jade.
Lucentio, to what end are all these words?
Sir, let me be so bold as to ask you, did you yet ever see Baptista's daughter?
No, sir, but here, I do that he hath two. The one as famous for a scolding tongue as the one for beauteous modesty.
Sir, the first's for me. Let her go by.
Yeah, leave that labor to great Hercules, and let it be more than Alcides 12.
Alcides
12.
Sir, understand you this of me in sooth. The youngest daughter whom you hearken for, her father keeps from all access of suitors, and will not promise her to any man, unless the elder sister first be wed. The younger then is free, and not before.
If it be so, sir, that you are the man must stead us all, and me amongst the rest, and if you break the ice and do this feat, achieve the elder, set the younger free for our access, whose hap shall be to have her will, not so graceless to be ingrate.
Sir, you say well, and well you do conceive, and since you do profess to be a suitor, you must, as we do, gratify this gentleman to whom we all rest generally beholding.
Sir, I shall not be slack. In sign whereof, please ye, we may contrive this afternoon and quaff carouses to our mistress's health, and do as adversaries do in law, strive mightily, but eat and drink as friends.
And Grumio and Bianca.
Or Biondello.
Or Biondello. Oh, is it Biondello? Yeah, Bianca's not in here. Oh, excellent motions. Fellows, let's be gone. The motion's good indeed, and be it so, Patricio, I shall be your benvenuto. And this ends the act. Whew. It's harder to read.
Yeah.
The Much Ado About Nothing, I'll bring that up again. But it's so much easier because they just wear masks.
Yeah.
No one really pretends. It's like, oh, he's wearing a mask. He's got a mask on. That makes sense.
This is one of those aspects of the play that makes watching it a lot more enjoyable because you have a placeholder. That same actor is playing the role of pretending to be 2-3 people or whatever it is, and you don't get confused because you see them.
If you know, if you catch it, there's the in the bit where they're saying, I'm going to pretend to be this guy.
Yeah.
If you kind of know, if you're waiting for it, you see it, okay, then you know.
But even if you're watching it, you're kind of, because they're speaking so fast, and then all of a sudden they're in costume, and you're like, what are they?
Yeah.
Which begs the question, why did I have to read this play in grade 11 high school? The answer? Because my teacher wanted to play romantic role play with one of my classmates. Maybe he just likes Shakespeare.
Yeah. Which is more likely?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a confusing beginning, but like, it has some funny lines.
It is fun to read.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It works.
I think it would be really funny if all the suitors are played just stupidly enough. Just satirical portrayal of these just guys who can't think of anything better to do with their time. And then you just, if they're just so desperate, and as soon as they see someone kind of challenging them, they just kind of perk up and they just kind of get excited. They can be really comical.
Well, that's kind of what makes Petruchio the best. Because he's like, he doesn't really, he's just like, oh yeah, I got money, let's just screw around.
Let's just do it, yeah.
And the guy, John Cleese, is really good in it.
Richard
Burton does it pretty well. Like, if you do it right, it works really well
but
on stage.
What Andre's saying is right, though, because this is basically just almost a translation of, like, an Italian play with very typecast characters. So,
yeah.
Gremio, the old guy, is like this, the pantaloon, as he's described, is this old clown figure, and the whole joke is to make fun of the old guy. So by lumping him together with Hortensio, you're kind of making them both losers. And so the more you ham it up, the funnier it gets.
If you get caught up in the Shakespearean language and try and make them Shakespearean, then it gets boring.
Yeah, it shouldn't
sound
serious.
That's you, Virginie. You're Gremio, the old guy. You're too old. And I'm the young guy who thinks he can outplay you, but I'm being outplayed by the Duke. Because
The
servant of the Duke.
Who's in the, I mean, he's out speaking, even the servant of the Duke is out playing in words these two suitors. They're
saw in the last performance we saw of it, the guy who played your part was the worst part of the play, and it almost killed it. Like, it.
Yeah,
it's really important that everybody is on mark.
Yeah.
Everybody else is pretty good. And there's one guy's not so good, and it just, like, every time he came on and said anything, you're like, you kind of need
to be
better.
But it's tough. It's tough to get that middle ground between the sort of sincerity that you expect to play with the part and the hamming it up that this play is almost begging you to do. Like, hamming up every line, but at some point there are moments that are, like, more serious or a little more.
It seems almost more important that in casting it that the Tranio character be he surprises you, and at first he's just the servant, but he ends up playing the part of a duke so well that he outwits everyone else.
Yes, thank you, Petruchio.
You're
and
welcome.
The rest.
Thanks.
I just caught his eye, and I forgot what his name was. David.
He's written down in front of him for you guys listening, by the way. He has my name written on.
Yeah, I do. I can't read.
David.
Oh, David. So please come by bardbrawl.com and tell us if you think you love this play and think we're all wrong.
Yeah.
Or if you don't love this play and would like to leave a comment or suggestion or question or anything. You can also do that on our Facebook page. You can leave a comment like the one person who did on our iTunes, whose name will be on the blog, because I don't have my computer in front of me.
Answer the question, why Sly?
Yeah, why isn't Sly, why isn't that more in this play? It's
it
so
would be
fun.
Awesome.
And thank you.
I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, the drunk Sly was
somehow that was like
shockingly good.
Yeah.
Shockingly, as in I was wondering what you had drank before you got here. He was actually just explaining Star Wars to us earlier, but that will wait for next time.
Sonnet number 23. As an unperfect actor on the stage, who with his fear is put beside his part, or some fierce thing replete with too much rage, whose strength's abundance weakens his own heart. So I, for fear of trust, forget to say the perfect ceremony of love's rite, and in mine own love's strength seem to decay, or charged with burden of mine own love's might. Oh, let my books be then the eloquence and dumb presagers of my speaking breast, who plead for love and look for recompense, more than that tongue that more hath more expressed. Oh, learn to read what silent love hath writ, To hear with eyes belongs to love's fine wit.